You're passionate, dedicated, resourceful, entrepreneurial, and above all purposeful. But you still wrap yourself up in that icky brown paper. You still cookie cut your passion, and you still copy and paste everything that you do in a non-authentic way. Drop the invisibility cloak and stop being the world's best kept secret. This is your weekly invitation to greatness, and I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. It is absolutely amazing to have you on the call.
Hi, Lena. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, yay. We started connecting last year, and with everything happening and Christmas and your book and everything just kind of got frazzled, and the tides were just pulling us in so many different directions, but it's really great that we have this chance to connect. So I appreciate, given your hectic schedule right now, that you're able to make the time to connect with the Supernova Tribe.
Oh, I'm so pleased that you asked. And yeah, I think I submitted an application for this show like in October. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we said, we'll do it in December. And then December kind of exploded. So, which is good. And, you know, as you know, you're an entrepreneur too. It's like, oh my God, everything's happening and it's all happening at once. Oh crap. It's great and scary all at the same time.
Absolutely. But also magical in that sense.
Very magical. So part of what I do is, you know, when we get, you know, that tidal wave of clients that we've been wishing for and asking for, and then it finally comes and you're like, oh my God. So, you know, it is. It's like you're constantly navigating the size of your ocean, which is basically your container. Mm-hmm. How much can you hold? How much abundance can you hold? How much pleasure can you hold? And when we make a stand for bringing more pleasure and ease, the universe always says, oh, really? Are you sure? You know, it's so, yeah, I was definitely tested, but,
as we all are.
I love that about the universe and how we can also, you know, be around people like you who remind us, you know, hey, Chris, yeah, you don't have to finish it all at once. You know, you can da 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 da. It's like, oh yeah, I have permission to not overwork myself.
Absolutely.
Which I think is what can really take us down as entrepreneurs physically, you know, our energy.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone's talking about 2015 being the year of amplification and the year of abundance. And that's all great and dandy, but again, it can be that tidal wave, and like, how do you surf that whole thing? Because it's a neutral energy. It can be positive or it can be negative. And as the year unfolds, we find ourselves kind of either wanting to make that big splash and plunge into our purpose, plunge into our dreams and our desires, and just go out there and make a wave, or we're sitting on the side of the pool, just kind of like dangling our feet, testing the water. Is it, like, you know, safe to kind of go belly in and, you know, live that kind of dream? And then there's these other people who I don't think really are our tribe, but they're kind of on the outsides, who are making such a huge splash, but they're like in a B-grade movie and they're totally not getting wet. And it's just this hilarious thing of people kind of just being in these different spaces and none of them being sustainable.
Yeah, we don't want to end up as, you know, in the Black Lagoon, whatever, the monster from the Black Lagoon guy. different kind of merman. It's funny, you know, mermaids, we do have this ability to be on the surface of the water or to go into the depths. Mm. And the ones that basically, like you said, holding onto the side of the pool, those are called shore huggers. And the shore huggers are the ones that are like, not quite ready to get themselves out there for whatever reason. They're telling themselves, I'm not ready, or I need more education. I need a better coach. I need to make more money. I need this. They kind of have these conditions that hold them to the shore. Mm-hmm. Rather than like you said, taking this plunge. And that doesn't mean that you have to stay underwater the whole time, because, you know, mermaids are, you know, we're water creatures, but we also can be in the air. Mm-hmm. And we can breathe air too. So the idea is the world of ideas and concepts and the mental constructs. And then, of course, the deep waters would be emotions, the creativity, the intuition. Mm. And also like diving into this collective unconscious, which I think when I look at the popularity of mermaids, which seems, in, you know, maybe because I'm so aware of it, I'm seeing more of it, but I'm seeing a lot more women becoming mermaidpreneurs. I'm seeing a lot more women embracing the mermaid as an approach to life, an approach to looking at their business. Mm. So I think this popularity is, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why, but I think what I'm wondering is this area of connecting the emotions and the creativity with the heart chakra, with the, because that seems to come into a lot of play, opening your heart. And that's obviously not just mermaid, that's a lot of other, you know, images and archetypes that do that. But it seems like the mermaid kind of connects the creativity, like the sexuality, the sensuality, with the heart.
Mm. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And yeah, so, and we talk about pleasure and ease. We're not going to get that from staying in our heads and staying in the world of air. We need that water to help us flow.
Mm. And also the great thing with mermaids is the element of play that they bring into everything. It's just flowing with it and just being in that process rather than it being a chore, which is so important for how you brand and market yourself.
It is. Well, and it's how you reinvent yourself. It's also how you innovate. Mm-hmm. Play opens the space for, you know, maybe things not to go 100% the way you think, but that's how we innovate. It's not by planning mm-hmm. or having a set blueprint. Innovation happens usually by some sort of miracle or grace or accident. You're like, oh my God. I was just playing around, or I was just driving in my car and just, you know, in the flow, and all of a sudden, boom, this idea came to me. Or, you know, I had a dream that I saw myself in a mermaid's tail, and then I heard a voice tell me to wear one in a photograph, and here you go.
So, I love that story. That's right? Amazing.
So, yeah.
No, absolutely. That's such an amazing story, because we don't necessarily have that courage to go after that and to connect those dots and just to trust ourselves to be okay. Like, we're actually never going to let ourselves drown. We're actually never going to let ourselves fall. We're intrinsically not going to do that. And yet we have this inhibitive fear to not even test the water.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as part of my story, I also have to say that I ate a whole pizza the night before that shoot. I was totally bloated.
Really?
I was on period. I'd eaten a whole pizza. So I felt, you know, I felt bloated and, oh, I felt terrible. And I remember, you know, I didn't even shave my legs. I was just like, well, I'm going to put a tail on. She's like, well, I'm going to take some pictures with the tail off. I'm like, are you crazy? I didn't shave my legs. So it was like, and the, you know, I did it in February of 2012. I did that mm-hmm. photo shoot. That's how long ago it was. So I'm like, now I'm like planning all these new pictures, but it was, you know, the Pacific Ocean, the sand was ice cold. I mean, I had to soak in like a hot scalding bath for almost an hour before I finally like unfroze. And I was so scared, because I actually got the directive to do the tail thing probably in early mid 2011 or the summer of 2011. Mm-hmm. Finally, in February of 2012, I actually do the photo shoot. I mean, it took me like just 4 or 5 months just to actually do the photo shoot. And then from there, I didn't even put the pictures on my site till August of 2012. So between February and August, I did nothing with them.
And what was that thing that actually got you to get them up there and to show up this way?
I was working with a mentor. I was working with Alexandra Franzen at the time. And she's like, oh my God, Chris, this is going to explode. I love mermaids. Everybody loves mermaids. And you're just amazing. This photo shoot's amazing. You've got to put it up there. And I was like, okay, you don't think people are going to like just run away screaming? I thought people would totally reject me. Yeah, you know, the same thing that, you know, we all fear. So, yeah, it's never just, I had a dream and then I did it. It's the road. It's like you get the image, you get the dream, you get the message to do something. And then there's the journey to get to actually doing it. I don't move quickly on things. So I've just decided that's my way. And
but that's also a beautiful way to really resonate and really connect with your brand, because you don't want to just go put something out there for the sake of putting something out there. You really want to step into it and be able to embody it and deal with all of the things and really take ownership for it, because this is going to be who you are. This is who you are, actually. So it's it is a huge step, and I totally feel your fear. I know when I was going through that process, and I'm sure, you know, between our clients, we've also kind of collectively seen them going through these fears.
Oh, totally. The big one is the fear of visibility, and at the same time, the fear of being invisible. You want to be seen and don't want to be seen at the same time. So it's those contradictions that I find most fascinating. And it's like when I talk to people, last year, a lot of what I worked on, and part of 2013 was working with people on more about their superpowers and what they're best at and what their gifts were and what their treasure was. And what we found, what I found across the board of all my clients was that the gift was somewhere in between the light and the dark. So they had the conscious, the light, whatever they wanted to show the world. And then there's the shadow piece, whatever it was, their wounding or their fears. And when they somehow put those two things together, it was like, boom, it exploded for them.
Exactly, so the way it exploded for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, things changed almost, I wouldn't say overnight, but really quickly. Like in 3 months after putting those photos up, it was like, boom, triple newsletter list. It was like, okay, I guess that was the right thing. Yeah, but everybody has their own process, but I think if we try to hide and not be visible as in our fullness and as our true selves, it never quite resonates with our audience or with an audience. It just kind of falls flat. I don't know how best to describe it.
No, that totally, I mean, it becomes one-dimensional, two-dimensional. There's no solid structure behind it. There's no authenticity. There's no realness. It's just something that you're relating to, and it's getting lost in all of that fluff and all of that noise that's out there.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, again, it's hard not to feel invisible, or it's hard not to go, well, what the hell do I have to do to get people to see what I'm doing, get more, grow my audience. And I mean, I think what we're doing now is a great way. Mm-hmm. Collaborating between entrepreneurs, I think that is more and more the wave of the future versus just this, you know, pure advertising and just pushing yourself and pushing and pushing. There's something about collaborating in like Facebook groups, any kind of groups, it seems to really help. That's helped build my list quite a bit and my client base quite a bit. And because you have more interactions. It's not just a newsletter blast going out.
For sure. And just speaking into that, it's also just been great to see how the conversations, say, around social media have changed. Because it always seems to be pivoting between this is the worst thing and, okay, we're not being socially engaged. We're just kind of existing on a computer, to the benefits of having a worldwide network and connecting with so many people on such a deep level that you would never have connected to.
I agree. And the, again, I think the difference is you also have to get off of the social media and get onto Skype one-on-one with people. I find even to fill workshops, I reach out to people that, you know, I either see that they're engaged with my material or they've said something in the past, or I really like, God, I would love this person to be in this program or this class because I just want to work with them. So I'll send them emails and Facebook messages personally. And because to me, I there's a part of my business more like, you know, the author side of the business that wants to grow more in a big, massive way because it's more of broadcast communications. And then there's the side of me that has a very small boutique branding company that's me and maybe a couple of other people here and there that help out. But you know, I don't have a VA. I've tried and found that I was looking at the VA again as somebody who could just post for me and take things off my plate rather than a collaborator, rather than somebody who is working with me. And so it just, when you, again, if you approach something like, I just need to get things off my plate and blah, 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 and hire somebody, again, I find that that can backfire as well. And yeah, so what I found is I've Hootsuite, you know, my groups where I have to do regular postings, I schedule everything as much as possible, and then I can really be on call for my people and be there for them in groups and over Skype or whatever it is. And so I would say last year I didn't grow my list totally huge. I think I got 300 new people on my list and that was it, which was a small amount for me. Usually I get more people in a year, but I didn't spend as much time like the big list building stuff. I really was more about, okay, how can I be of service to this particular person or one or two, 10, 15 people versus, you know, how do I scream my message out to millions? You know, there's a big difference.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah. Part of me wants to be like in the big spotlight, and the other part says, okay, but there's this, I really want to serve in a much more grounded way than just blasting.
And again, I guess it's that invisible visibility thing, but it's also where the value lies in between that, because with social media, I mean, I know I've got quite a lot of connections on LinkedIn, and from last year, I actually made the resolution to actually, like, really connect with the people that I've been connecting with. So I'm not just rubber stamping people in and, like, having a collection of them and kind of go, oh, look, I've got so many people on my network. Yeah. And then you're like, who are half these people? Like, how on earth did I have to get into the network? But that you're constantly engaging them, because mailing lists are great to grow, and there's obviously value in having X amount, because then the big guys tend to notice you and this, that, and the other. But it means nothing if you don't have that relationship, if you don't have that intimacy with them.
Exactly. And, you know, granted, if you're, you know, an Alexandra Friends and a you know, Danielle Laporte, who have 10,000 plus people on their lists, you're not going to know every one of those people. But if you can write in such a way as giving people that feeling that you're intimate with them, that also is a good way to approach that, because there are some people that really, that is their deal. They really want big lists. That's what they're seeking. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because obviously it helps your sales numbers too. But it's not going to help you if you're totally vanilla, not putting your personality into your brand and not talking to people in such a way that it's like, you know, it goes back to, again, like one of Danielle Laporte's first things that I've learned from her was, you know, how do you want to feel? And I know how I want to feel, but I also want to make sure that I evoke that feeling for others. So I don't want my marketing to evoke, oh, I better hurry up and grab this before, you know, I've got 5 minutes and then this deal's gone forever. Like that kind of marketing is just such bleh, you know. It's okay to say I only have 10 spots open, but people don't need to hear every 5 minutes that, okay, one more spot's gone, one more spot's gone, you know, mm-hmm. and this kind of sort of urgency rush, you know, because when people send me emails like that, I'm like, well, you know, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to click buy on this. Rather than, you know, the people that I tend to buy from are just like, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is why, and I'm inviting you into this amazing experience. And then you're like, hell yeah. And then you're like, oh, I don't really know what I just bought. It made me feel good just reading about it. So let's go for it. You know what I mean? Because there's so much stuff out there. And we all like to buy things and support other people through buying them, especially when it comes to other entrepreneurs. I want to be able to support people and cheer them on and experience what their work is. Mm. Because it's fun.
Oh, of course it is fun. And that's what kind of keeps the culture of it going alive rather than this other mentality that comes around. But just on the one thing that you were saying, I actually read an interesting stat that these days, with marketing changing as much as this has, from that sales-driven thing to that now that you need to engage people a lot more because the competition is there, people are saying that you need to engage with them 10 to 15 times more before a sale actually closes because of that whole change and shift in mentality, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always found, just as an aside, like when, you know, because I actually have a program, a branding one-on-one program called The Plunge. Mm-hmm. And that's been my signature service pretty much since like 2012. And usually what I'm seeing is when people sign up for my newsletter, usually a year or maybe a year and a few months after they sign up, they'll sign up for the big ticket stuff like that. Which is great. So I think, you know, if you're selling anything over like $150, what I'm finding is, yeah, it definitely takes probably 12 to 15, you know, it takes a year. They need to get to know you and go, oh my God, yeah, I can't live without this thing. And they're saving their money or planning for it. So yeah, I think that's totally right. But I've seen that since 2012. It doesn't seem like a new thing to me.
No, like a relatively new thing. I'm not saying like it's just popped up in the market now, but. And I think that leads us into this whole idea of enchantment really well, which is the title of your new book, The Return to Enchantment, because there you now need to be in a space of engagement and value and enchanting and really just putting your message across and nurturing the relationships that you're building. So tell us a little bit about the book that you've got coming up.
I'm so excited. So I did do a dissertation way back in like 2010. And this is not in any way, it was about female drummers in Brazil around a particular religion, because my PhD was in mythology. So this is my first like non-academic book, and it's nonfiction written for entrepreneurs. And basically the way it's structured is there are seven main chapters, and each chapter is a particular archetype, and each archetype is also tied to a chakra. So you're working on the psychological level, you're working on the spiritual level, and also I give body prayers, which are sort of movement or bringing the lessons and the learnings into the physical realm. Mm-hmm. So it's multi-layered, and so it starts, actually I kind of follow, in the way I do my own magic, I follow the manifesting path, which starts with the seventh chakra and works its way down, as opposed to the liberating path, which is the opposite way. It doesn't, so someone could read the book in the opposite direction and go, hey, I'd rather start with the root chakra because that's just me. they could totally start. They could go and say, oh my God, I really want to work with my heart chakra, my throat chakra, and start at that chapter. The introduction kind of lays out the methodology and lays out how to use the book. And then the individual chapters can be taken on their own. They don't have to be read in a specific order. And then after those first seven chapters, then I go into more about working with the shadow, which was what kind of more my 2013 work was around, how to integrate the shadow and accept more aspects of yourself and heal those and bring them into your marketing, bring them into your brand, and just watch the numbers soar. Because that's, again, I think it also humanizes you. It makes you real. It reminds people that you're not just a newsletter or this beautiful image, that you are a human being. Mm-hmm. And what else can I say about it? To me, enchantment is, you know, obviously wishes and dreams coming true. And it's also that magical feeling that you get, those, you know, the chills and the, like, oh my gosh, that catching your breath and feeling your passion and just being, you know, being in this sense of enchantment as you're creating your work. It makes everything more enjoyable for you. And again, that energy is, you know, comes through your work. It comes through your marketing and your branding. So again, you know, if I'm really feeling a tense day or a tense moment, I usually never write any marketing pieces or anything, because I know that energy is going to come through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it's like, wow, I'm having a really bad day and I'm really learning a specific lesson, so I'm going to blog about it. And I think that is also fine. It's not like you're automatically putting your energy onto someone. But I think, again, this enchantment is creating a world and inviting people into it.
Which is so much of what the work needs to be doing right now. This is, the missing piece that a lot of people have. They're either so focused on throwing products out there and throwing themselves out there that they're forgetting how to bring people into that inner cave or that space that they're connecting at.
Mm-hmm. And they're burning out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done it too. It's like you can only do so much and your energy is going to just dissipate.
Absolutely. And that's the last thing we want, right?
It is. It's sad. And it's a lesson that I've had to learn over and over again. I learned it in December. But when I got overwhelmed, I'm like, okay, I have to take a step back. Things don't need to get done in a day. They don't need to get done in a week. Sometimes they're going to take multiple months, and I'm just going to have to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have gone into modes where I want immediate gratification. Everything has to happen now. And the more that, like this year, even in my planning, I've kind of redrawn my plans over and over again, going, okay, I've got three projects going on in 1 month. There's no way to serve the way I want to serve. I cannot have three projects going. Ain't going to happen. So what can I move here? What can I change? And I have hired help, you know, like people to help me. This amazing woman, named Angelique Mrochka. She is formatting my whole book. She helped me build the website for the book. She's helping me write the copy for all of that. I mean, I'm putting my touch in it, but the thing is, it's like we can't do everything. Mm-hmm. And what the idea is to do those one or two things that bring you the most pleasure, that get your energy going, because then you're going to really be at your best for your customers and your clients.
For sure. For sure. And it just makes it so much more memorable as well and unforgettable.
And you're bringing other people's genius into it. I mean, my genius is not in formatting ebooks and books, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So you have to go and find the person that you resonate with that can be like, hey, let's partner on this. And yes, you're paying them. But again, it's not about just hiring somebody. It's really bringing on a partner that you resonate together and create something amazing.
And I love that shift in that mindset, because I recently experienced it as well. There was something coming up for me. It was a project. And when I looked at it as another business thing, of course, I went into huge overwhelm. But when I looked at it as a project and a collaboration, and it just all of a sudden, the same workload just dissipated, and it felt so much more natural, so much more playsome. And it was just so much more clearer in terms of what needed to be happening. So it's amazing how we trip ourselves up over these words and these concepts and these fragments of things.
Exactly. So I just, you know, I have to wake up in the morning, and even though I'm like, okay, do this and do this and do this, and I'm like, okay, what? Bring it into focus. This year for me is about pleasure. What is going to bring me pleasure? What's going to help me bring other people pleasure? That's what I'm about. Mm-hmm. And that's what enchantment's all about. You know, I mean, you can't have enchantment if you're like a haggard, tired, you know, burnt out person. You're not going to feel very enchanted. So, does it mean you need to get maybe a massage once a month? Does it mean you need to take a walk every morning to look, be out in nature? It's finding those ways to really take care of yourself. And I mean, I hate, you know, then we go into the self-care conversation and, you know, all of that. But I'm finding more and more, as, you know, once entrepreneurs, especially after the second or third year, because the first year you're really excited and you'll just, you know, work yourself to the bone and it doesn't feel like anything. But when you get to the second and the third year, then it starts to become more of an uphill battle. And I kind of look at it as, you know, in an entrepreneur's journey, there's the beginning where you've got beginner's luck. There's a lot of stuff that comes into play. And even the stuff that doesn't, you're a little bit more lenient on yourself because you're like, oh, I'm just starting and let's just learn and do stuff and just throw the spaghetti on the wall and see if it sticks. Let's just go for it. And that's what you do as a beginner. It's totally beginner's mind and it's awesome. But then as you get more experience and more discrimination about the projects you're taking on, because you know what you're more about, you know what your people are about and what they're attracted to, you get into this year. I think the years 2, 3, and 4 for entrepreneurs are like kind of this middle area where there's, you know, it's a little bit of an uphill climb. And so you have to have the stamina to make it to the what I would say would be a cycle of that plateau where, okay, you've reached an area that you're comfortable with. You've got the audience that you want. You're doing what you want. The money is what you want. And then once you hit that plateau, of course, it starts all over again. You know, the journey is like a cycle, not necessarily a linear thing. The people I work with used to be first year, second year people, but now I'm seeing that many of my clients are years 3 to 10. And people that have been doing for 10 years are, in some ways they're way ahead of me in, you know, just how their business, you know, is doing sales wise, but it takes time.
Oh, sure.
So, the stamina piece is really important, and the way to have stamina is to really take care of yourself and not let yourself get burnt out.
Yeah, because that's also another conversation. I hear a lot of entrepreneurial podcasts or blogs, and they're all going about driving sales and marketing and branding, which is great because we're going to those people for being experts in those fields. But then we forget about ourselves, and entrepreneurs is still very much, it's a people thing. We're all in it together, and we're all learning, and we're all collaborating, and we need to be healing on that level. We need to be in that space of wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, if you look at mermaids, they swim in pods. They're like dolphins, whales, you know. They're in pods. They're in groups. And that's say that we all need to retreat and have solitude time. That's definite. But, the idea is that we aren't, like you said, we're not in this alone, and we're even, you know, it's obviously about us, but it's also not about us. It's about us wanting to serve and helping people. And again, if you're burnt out, you can't do it. You cannot do that job.
So what's been your little, like, personal thing that's kind of helped you get through times like that?
Oh, I have many, many, many things. So I would say make a list of stuff that you can turn to. I belong to a few different Facebook groups. I have some of my own, but I also belong to others and some outside masterminds outside of my groups, just so, you know, you don't want to be commiserating about your groups to your groups. That's not professional. So then, you know, I have many networks of support. I have a coach, sometimes multiple coaches, depending on what I'm working on and what different kinds of projects. I try to find people who are specifically good at those kinds of things that I'm dealing with. I don't really necessarily believe in having just a general coach. For me, it doesn't work. I just don't get the same kind of production. Like, you know, my coach also is a really amazing writer. So, you know, I'll write an email and then shoot it off to her. What do you think? And she sends me like great, amazing ways to spice it up. So I'm not doing this alone. I have collaborators. My work is to spread enchantment and pleasure through the content that I create. And part of that obviously is marketing. So I put a lot of time into my marketing, but I also make sure that I have the right kind of feedback, like the right coach that knows me and knows my style and my voice and can go, okay, yeah, this looks great. Maybe change this one sentence or something like that. I'm also a web developer. So, I mean, I do all my own website stuff, and that's why it was a huge, when I hired somebody to do my website, it was like, I can't believe I'm not doing my own website. And it's like, woohoo! It was like one of those moments where I felt like I made it. But like hot bath,
of course.
I'm telling you, there's nothing like a hot bath or a hot shower or a dive in a lake or water. Water, again, if like you're feeling dry, burnt out, like you can't come up with a good idea, get in water of some kind. That will usually get stuff flowing. Movement and meditation. I work a lot with chakra work is what I found for me. It's the most simple work to do for visualizing and meditation and, you know, the breath work associated with the chakra visualization, which is in my book. And I'm also doing audio recording. So when people buy the book, they can go to the website and enter their name and email and download the audio meditations that go with it. But
I was listening to one a little bit earlier. It sounds so beautiful with the drum.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love doing it. And again, visualization, breath work, the chakra work, they're so simple. You know, you could, like you said, you could just get, you know, listen to someone else's stuff, or you could just tune into your own. Like Calm, I think it's calm.com or doasone.com. Both of those sites I use all the time. Mm-hmm. Breathing, it's so important.
Absolutely. So easy to forget. Even though we do it intrinsically, we really forget how to breathe.
We do. And when we're sitting down so much, we collapse on our diaphragms. It's, you know, most of us aren't sitting up perfectly straight all the time. And so, you know, trying to find a way to just constantly bring awareness to your body, you know, oh, I've been sitting on this chair for an hour. This body probably needs to move or needs a glass of water or take a deep breath and stretch. So yeah, when we're entrepreneurs, we're pretty much on 24/7. So we have to protect our most important asset, which is our bodies and our souls and our on our minds, our sanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's your greatest asset, not your coach, not your great programs.
Yep, it really is. If you're not looking after yourself, then, and especially if you're branding yourself as a personal brand, and you can't handle that piece, then your business falls apart.
Oh yeah. And even if you're not a personal brand, which, yeah, I mean, you could be, you know, a company and not be showing pictures of yourself, but you're not going to be generating generative content. You know, it's not going to be that, you're not going to have that oomph that to birth something that's really like up to your standards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to see the book come out. Please keep us posted on that, and I'll send out an announcement as soon as it is up and live and flapping and swimming through the ethers of the world.
The website is actually available. It's called returntoenchantment.com. People can sign up for notification when the website goes live.
Oh, brilliant.
And I do want lots of amazing entrepreneurs, especially people in your world, to sign up for the blog tour. So if they do sign up to be notified when the blog tour planning is all set, I'm going to send a notification out to that list and invite them. They're going to be some of the first people invited into collaborating with me, basically.
Okay, great. Well, I've noted that link, so I'll add it as well to the end of this podcast in the notes section.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I really appreciate it. And this was fun.
It was fun. Well, is there anything else that you want to share or any other sites that you want to direct the listeners to?
Yeah, my main site is mythicrhythm.com, or it's also Chris Oster, KRISOSTER.com. It's, you know, I have to kind of complete the whole migration of that domain, but you can find me there. And all of my blog posts are there, and my services are there, and programs are there. I have an upcoming program specifically for mermaids called 12 Months of Mermaid Magic. And that starts, it's a whole year. I mean, the official start date is January 10th when we have our kickoff call. Mm-hmm. But, people are still signing up and coming in, and I have a feeling since it's a whole year that people will just be, whatever, signing up as we go along.
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, and later in the year, I'm going to be doing, probably March and April timeframe, I'm going to have a course on business and pleasure, and that, you know, through, you know, with branding, with the archetype. So based on the content from my book. So mm-hmm. that should be complete and unveiled in March and April. So there's a lot coming up. And I'm so just, yeah, I'm really excited about this year and excited to not be overdoing.
And returning to simpleness.
Uh-huh.
And effortlessness and play.
Yes. Play is something I'm really good at. Effortlessness and what was the other word you had? Simple.
Simpleness.
I haven't quite mastered those. But, you know, we're all working on what we're working on.
Absolutely, we are. Well, play is a great place to start.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thanks, Chris. And keep us posted on all the amazing things that you've got happening.
Thank you, Lena.
Give yourself permission. Permission to be amazing, bold, generous, valued, celebrated, inspired, and transformed. Because when you choose to live from courage and be authentically real, and you choose to make the moment, meet the moment, step up and step in, being the true illuminary that you really are, and honoring the supernova within, that's when you honor the invitation to greatness. For more information, head on over to www.lenaski.com.